Magician Christian Cadjigal combines his acting chops and sleight of hand to create unforgettable onstage illusions. His critically acclaimed solo shows use storytelling and audience participation to create intimate and disarming experiences. Christian Cadjigal talked with KLW's Jen Chien about putting the bite back into magic.
Your shows do have that ease and an intimacy that other kinds of flashier magic presentations don't have.
Right.
You're also a trained actor, which seems like that has a lot to do with how you use your voice and how you bring narrative and storytelling into the performance. Can you talk about your training as an actor? You went to San Francisco State. You studied theater.
Yeah, studied theater at SF State. Graduated in 2009. I loved SF State because it didn't have a lot of money anymore. And that meant everybody, like, what you put into it is what you were going to get out of it. That, I think, was the best training I could have. Because it was always, from the beginning, my life has been DIY theater.
And what about how the theater training has affected how you see putting together a show, putting together a magic show?
There's no formal school and training for magicians. So it's pretty much, I have a table full of my stuff off to the side. I'm going to go pick up the next trick, do it for you, put it back down on the table, pick up the next trick, do it for you. So for me, it was like, well, how can I take the things I was able to glean from, you know, costume design and set design and whatnot. And part of my aesthetic comes from not having a lot of things, not having a lot of money.
Some of the things came from that. Yeah.
So it was that, and along with kind of loving strange objects and antiques. So I was like, oh, I could just like go through my mom's old stuff, right? I could go to like cheap antique stores, like on the west side of San Francisco, and find stuff there and start filling up a room with all those things. And those old items just tell their own story, you know? So they become your props, they become your set.
And your storyline.
And the storyline.
Uh-huh.
And so that's me kind of creating this unity of the prop to the set, because they're sometimes the same thing. That starts deciding how I dress. I can't wear a tuxedo. I can't wear a suit. It's like, how does a person who has a bunch of old stuff dress? Oh, maybe like slacks and a sweater, like a Mr. Rogers type, but like a creepy Mr. Rogers type who has weird things in his house, you know? And it's like, oh, well, if I'm going to be doing all these things with weird old items, that's going to be kind of spooky. Oh, I can't be cute and funny anymore. Oh, I need to go darker.
Hmm.
Oh, I never thought I would go in that direction. Oh, go darker. Oh, that means I have to kind of weird people out a bit. I have to be okay with making people feel uncomfortable. Because sometimes I put people in a lovingly uncomfortable situation.
Can you describe a moment like that in one of your shows?
In my show, The Collection, which is essentially a room full of strange antiques, and
I'm like, collection.
And I'm the Mr. Rogers telling you stories about each strange antique and involving someone each time into that story.
An audience member.
Yeah. At the very end, someone has to make a very important choice. I won't say exactly what that is, but it's kind of reminiscent of the old story of if somebody presented you with a button that you could hit and it could kill anyone in the world that you wanted, would you do it? And no one would find out.
That's pretty dark.
It's not that exactly, but it's reminiscent of that. And just kind of let you decide. And I've built the entire show to lead up to this one moment, and now there's one person on stage who has to make this choice. And I kind of sneak off into the corner. And on some nights, like, the audience would be yelling and screaming for their soul, like, do it, don't do it, do it, you know? And you would see them fight, and it's a lovingly terrible thing I'm doing to an audience member.
And very compelling as a theatrical moment.
Yeah, and because I don't need the magic to be about me and winning anything or whatever. I'm already the magician. I already get to do cool things. I'm sort of at least in a pretend position of power. For me, it's more fun to make the experience about you. And good or bad, it's like, I want, you know, what does that say about us when we're cheering for somebody to hit the button or not? What does it say about you when you're thinking about it? You know, what choice did you make at the end?
It was a chance for self-reflection.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to call it a shamanistic experience. But I am.
But is there something of that in?
Yeah, because magic, art, science, religion all came from the shaman. Once upon a time, the weird person at the edge of town who understood history and understood a little bit of medicine and would throw in some trickery to get you to stop freaking out about something or give you a transformative experience, you know. And in the 20th century, in an attempt to distance ourselves from from fake psychics and using fake paranormal powers to manipulate people, we have kind of taken a lot of the bite out of magic. It's very light. It's very pleasant, you know.
Or it's just for kids. That's what a lot of people think.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And there's nothing wrong with doing magic for kids. In fact, it's really hard to do magic for kids. You know, there's in the past 30 years, 40 years, like there's sort of been this like little underground movement of, can we put some of the bite back into magic without trying to look like we're trying to start a religion and offend people? Can we just put some of this bite back into magic? And so that's been my attempt of like, in a safe theatrical place where hopefully I've created enough rapport and you trust me in a weary way or leery way. Can I give you your own magical experience that maybe makes you consider yourself, the world, the universe, everybody else around you, and maybe can be a little transformative? You know, if you ask me during the show, is everything I'm doing real? I'll say, what do you think? Because I want you to confront what you think is real and what you think is not.
Play with that boundary.
Exactly. Like if you are a believer, I want you to wonder, well, he's probably just doing tricks. And if you're a non-believer, I want you to go, I don't know if he's just doing tricks.
How could he do that?
Right. Because I think nothing's more human than realizing that you maybe really want to believe in something.
Where do you see yourself in the landscape of magic or the history of magic?
So there does seem to be this thing happening, particularly in the past 20 years, magicians like me thinking to ourselves, okay, and what else? Okay, so we guessed the card. Okay, so we made your dollar bill appear in a lemon. That was amazing. You're all cheering for me. And then what? Maybe to a certain degree, we're not appreciating how amazing making your dollar bill appear in a lemon is.
Because you've seen it 1,000 times.
I've seen lots of things appear in lemons. Oh my goodness. Sometimes whole shows are coming out of lemons. But, you know, how can we make it a piece of art and theater? How can we say something? How can we create an experience? And more magicians have been trying to explore that.